Heavenly Father, we thank you that your servant Paul was such a good steward of your word and that he cared about the gospel message. We pray that we might be good stewards as well. As we look into your word, may it minister to our hearts and may it show forth from our lives in your light and in your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have you ever seen one of these? Know what it is? Yes, it's an insulator, an electric insulator. Glass insulators for wiring began to be, were manufactured in the mid-1800s in response to the technology of the time. Samuel Morse had created the first working telegraph in 1844, and by 1850, telegraph lines were being strung from one coast of America to the other. What would happen, they have little grooves in them, and the line would come and wrap around in this groove and head on to the next one. As technology advanced, the glass insulator was used for telephone wires and electrical wires. The first insulators of this type were small because they only needed space for one wire. But in 1936, President Roosevelt and Congress passed the Rural Electrification Act, which provided funding for electricity and telephone wiring to be run to farms and homes in outlying areas. And this then increased the need for this little gadget here, the glass insulator, and more companies sprang up in response to the need. The reason glass was used was because it would prevent the electrical current from getting off course. Without these insulators, the electricity would run from the wire and into the pole and into the ground and be lost. The glass, which would not allow the electrical current to become weakened or lost because it was not a conductor of electricity, would preserve the integrity of the current and assure that it was properly passed down the line in full strength from the starting point to the intended destination. Since the manufacturing companies did not solely make insulators, they were mostly glass companies and made glass for all kinds of things, they often used leftover glass from other projects. And because of this, and because of the many different companies that made them, there were different shapes and colors, depending on the color of glass that was available. As cables came into play, the poles, telephone poles, were replaced by buried lines. In the days of the glass insulator, which was also replaced by porcelain, soon became obsolete, but not forgotten. In fact, over time, glass insulators have become even more valuable as there's a passion among many to collect them. You can find insulator shows all across the land where the traders and collectors come together to strike deals. Cobalt blue is the most desired color. And the rare ones are quite valuable. Here are a few of the gems. This one was a Westinghouse Telluride type, valued between $7,500 and $10,000. Where's our next one? We have another Westinghouse from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a CD309.5. You would look for it on the glass, $10,000 to $15,000. And one more, we had the Beals. It was a high technology one. It was made in 1899. It's also valued between $10,000 and $15,000. The reason these are so rare is because my friends and I broke the rest of them when we were young as we hiked along the railroad tracks that ran through our town. A little kid can't see glass like that and not try to break it, right? If we only knew. If we only knew, we wouldn't have performed pyrotechnical experiments on our sister's Barbie dolls over the 4th of July weekend, and we wouldn't have smashed electric insulators as we walked along the railroad tracks. Hindsight is 20/20. Well, today as we conclude our study of Paul's letter to the Colossians, we discover the most valuable insulator of all, the Christian insulator. We're wrapping up our study of Colossians this morning as we focus upon the fourth chapter. Paul covered a family and societal relationships in the third chapter, husbands and wives, parents and children, children and parents, masters and slaves, slaves and masters. But in this final chapter, he instructs us about the importance of prayer, which is the open line of communication between God and ourselves, the most important relationship of all. And it is Paul's prayer life that reveals to us what it means to be and the importance of being an insulator for the gospel. Let's look at this fourth chapter and see what he has to say to us, beginning with verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Those are Paul's instructions to the congregation in Colossae and to you and me this morning. Now, there's a difference between saying an occasional prayer before a meal, before you go to bed, or a special occasion, and devoting yourselves to prayer. Saying an occasional prayer versus devoting one's life to prayer is the difference between an immature and a mature Christian. It is the difference between being a Christian insulator versus a Christian imitator. Let's focus upon Paul's prayer request this morning. After he instructs the people to devote themselves to prayer, he says, pray for us too. Paul needed prayer. He said, pray for us too. And at this point, let us put ourselves in Paul's shoes. Where is he at the time that he writes this letter? Do you remember?
Prison.
He is in prison. He is in a cold, dark prison, living in chains. If you and I were in that situation, and we were requesting prayers from others, what would our prayer requests look like? I don't know about you, but I would be asking for prayers that God would spring me from this joint. God, get me out of here. That would be our prayer, wouldn't it? Deliver me from these chains, Lord, but not Paul. For you see, Paul was an insulator. To insulate means to protect. The main request of Paul in this situation was to protect the word. He says, pray for us that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Did you get that? Pray for us that God may open a door for our message. Not open a door for me to get out of this prison, but for the message of the mystery of Christ to be proclaimed. Don't protect me, Lord, as much as protect the message that you want to get out to your people through me. Even when Paul was in prison, his main concern was to get the message of the gospel out, no matter what it took. He was determined to protect and to pass along the power of the mystery of Christ. Think of the glass insulator sitting up on that pole all alone, day in and day out. It doesn't move, stuck in one place, exposed to the elements. for much of Paul's ministry, God had him stuck in one place, in prison. And yet in those prisons, God's word came to Paul. It wrapped itself around his heart and mind, just like the wire on the insulator. And the message was protected by him in spite of the suffering. It wasn't lost through him. It wasn't diminished through him. It wasn't weakened through him. But as an insulator, he passed along the power of God's word to the intended destination, which was the hearts and minds of God's people. Paul was devoted to, he was all about protecting and preserving the gospel of Jesus Christ and passing it on down the line in its full power and strength. Have you ever considered this? No matter where Paul went, he always faced persecution and affliction. It was just a byproduct of his ministry. We read in his second letter to the Corinthians where he says, I've worked much harder. I've been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have constantly on the move. Been on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Well, after hearing what Paul went through on the outside of prison, could it be that his life was much safer on the inside of a prison? I mean, could it be that God at times used prison cells to protect Paul, to insulate him from those things on the outside that were constantly trying to kill him? I mean, when you're stoned, you're supposed to die when somebody stoned you. Paul got up from that. Guess they just knocked him out a while. But God put him in one place, like an insulator, sitting on top of a pole, that so God could speak to him. And then have Paul pass that message along through pen and parchment, not only to the churches, but then now it's been passed down through the ages to you and me. Think of it. Those letters written in those dark prisons long ago still pass along great power to the church today. Not his spoken word, but his written word. If he's not in prison, maybe he just would have spoken the word and it wouldn't have been recorded. And furthermore, when Paul was in prison in Rome, who watched over him? The Praetorian Guard. The Praetorian Guard was an elite unit of Roman army soldiers whose members served as a personal bodyguard, and they were in the intelligence area, like the FBI and the CIA, to Caesar. And what did Paul do as these guards watched over him every day? He shared Jesus with them, of course. And as he did, the gospel message even made its way from these soldiers into the household of Caesar. In Philippians 4:22, Paul writes from prison in Rome, all God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The gospel doesn't make it to Caesar's household if Paul isn't in prison there, sharing away, telling anyone who would listen about Jesus. Paul was an insulator, and God used him as an insulator. He ends his letter to the Colossians by listing many different names of those who were fellow insulators with him, those who saw that the message was carried down the line. One of the names we read in his final greetings in Colossians is from Luke. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, it says. Did Luke preserve the word and pass it along? He sure did. He was especially concerned to do it with accuracy and integrity, so none of the power of the gospel would be diminished in any way. He begins his gospel this way. I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. And who else does Paul mention in these final greetings in Colossians? He mentions Mark. Mark, who wrote a gospel as well. These men were insulators, along with Paul. Insulators who God used to pass along the message of salvation. Their words will be passing along power until the day Christ returns. God used insulators back then, and he is out hunting for and collecting valuable insulators today. People of all colors, shapes, and sizes, valuable insulators who can pass his message of love, forgiveness, and salvation down the line today. Are you one of those insulators? Do you? Will you pass it on down the line? Or will the gospel message become short-circuited and grounded when it gets to you? Does the message become lost when it reaches you and never makes it to another person? Is it weakened or diminished in any way by your lifestyle, by your emotions or your circumstances? Just think, Paul, if anyone had a good reason not to be happy and to grumble against God, it was Paul. Paul served him with his whole heart, and then all that list of things that happened to him. What kind of reward is that? But Paul never let the message, the power of the gospel, be diminished. He always passed along faith. He always passed along joy. He always passed along love. He didn't let his circumstances interrupt that power. Are you an insulator or an imitator? I'm convinced that all of you here today are insulators for Christ. Paul instructs us to be devout in our prayer today. Devout. Devout means you're praying throughout the day. Devout means you're praying even when people look at you and they can't tell you're praying. Devout prayer is just a way of life, just like breathing. So Paul says, guard the word, and above all, pass it on down the line. Amen.